It's 1966, and the First Lady of Song, Ella Fitzgerald, performed by the incomparable Broadway veteran Tina Fabrique, is preparing for one of the most important concerts of her career. Before the night is over, she'll jam with Louis Armstrong, reflect on her life and love of music, and bring the house down with soulful song, swinging scat, and scintillating hits like A Tisket a Tasket, How High the Moon, That Old Black Magic, and They Can't Take That Away From Me. Ella, conceived by Rob Ruggiero and Dyke Garrison with a book by Jeffrey Hatcher, is running at Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany, July 24th through August 12th. We are now joined by the woman portraying the woman herself, Tina Fabrique. Tina brings a wealth of theater and big band experience to the arduous task of singing more than 24 songs from Fitzgerald's legacy every performance. That's a lot of work. She has appeared in Dessa Rose, Ragtime, Bring Into Noise, Bring Into Funk, Truly Blessed, How to Succeed, The Gospel at Colonists, and Harlem Song, and all on Broadway. She was a featured singer with the Duke Ellington Orchestra for several years, touring the U.S. and Europe. Quite a resume, Tina. Thanks
for
being here.
Thank you for having me.
How tough is it to go out there and sing 24 from Ella every night?
Well, it's not an easy task. I mean, you know, you don't take it lightly.
No.
But somehow, I got this job like 7 years ago. And 2005, we opened at Theater Works in Connecticut at Rob Ruggiero's Theater. And it was his dream. It was his baby. And somehow, all the work that I've done seemed to prepare me for it. And I just took it upon myself to say, okay, we can do this. And my biggest dream was to portray the woman and to really capture the soul of her.
And how much research did you actually have to do to sort of get the emotions and the background?
Well, I continue to research constantly. I started out when I was given the role, and it was not one of those regular audition situations. Rob had heard about my work. He came to see me in another play, which had nothing to do with Ella, and liked my look and the sound of my voice and said, all I want to hear you do is scat How High the Moon. You got the job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it happened. So from that point on, I received from a lot of people who knew Ella, worked with her. They sent me tapes and all kinds of interviews on tape and CDs. And I just started working on all of that, listening to her speak, getting to know who she was and what she was about. And I've been very fortunate through the run of this show to meet a lot of her old friends who worked with her. And it was just amazing.
Scat. Now, you know, when scat's good, it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's bad, it's very bad.
It's an embarrassment when it's bad.
It's very embarrassing. You feel bad. Is it something that you do naturally?
Well, I've been doing it all my career. I think that's one of the things that got me the gig with the Ellington Orchestra. I did a show called Queenie Pie with the Ellington Orchestra in New York. And Mercer Ellington asked me, would you just do a little scat section on this tune right here? It was one of my solos. And I said, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And I did it, and he hired me to be the singer with the orchestra, and I worked with them for about 4 years.
Oh, that must have been a tremendous experience. All over the world, I would
imagine. All over the world, yes. All over Europe and United States, South Street, Seaport, Switzerland, Sweden, The Hague, where I opened for Joe Williams.
Oh, the great one himself.
I was in love with him.
Joe Williams.
Yes, and he came over to me after we traded sets with the Ellington Orchestra and his band. And when I came off, he said, you know what? You make it hard. For an old man. I said, oh,
well, you
Mr.
see,
Joe
he was a
Williams.
Smooth operator.
Yes, he was.
Indeed. So, I mean, as a singer, is it a tremendous amount of physical work to sing behind a 16-piece band, a big band?
Well, yeah, I think you just have to be. What I learned in working with the Ellington Orchestra, and prior to that I worked with big bands as well, is that your sound needs to be supported. You have to choose your notes in any improvisational things that you do. And you need to be making a statement, just as those horn players make a statement with their sound. You have to be that impeccable and that on point. And it just takes a lot of vocal control.
And, of course, it takes a band that knows how to be dynamic. I mean, Basie could play as quiet as can be and then hit you on the head when everybody came in?
I am so fortunate. George Caldwell, my music director of Ella from the very beginning, worked with the Duke Ellington Orchestra and Count Basie, and just worked with them recently. So there's a lot of that sensitivity in a player like that. And that helps to translate this kind of piece. Even though it's a rhythm band, it still has to have, the arrangements have the dynamics, and you have to be able to really kind of, encompass the singer's work.
Tell me about the show. Now, you know, the music, we know the music, and it's phenomenal.
Yes,
but
it
there's
is.
More to the show than the music.
Oh, yeah. What we had the fortune of doing is to take Ella's life and kind of put it up there as she's talking to her best friend. Things that she needed to say, things that have really been in the back of her mind for quite some time, but came to the forefront when she lost her half-sister, and she had all of this ahead of her to deal with, and this huge, important concert in Nice. So all of these things are reflected. You know, all of her life is reflected in preparing for this concert. And she just pours her heart out. And there are things that people never knew about Ella. She always seemed to be this happy singer, you know, this happy, jolly lady.
Yeah.
But she had a hard, hard youth, a very difficult time as a young person, and did without a mother from the age of 14.
Yeah.
And had a lot of things to deal with. Lived on the street for a while. And a lot of people never knew that about her. And she never talked about it.
Well, and I only saw her once on stage, but she carried herself with just that elegance.
Yes.
That you never saw. What happened? The backstory.
Right. No, and she was one that didn't really like to be interviewed very much. Sometimes she'd make excuses. I have to go shopping. I can't be there.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is that she did not want people to feel sorry for her or to know a lot of the things that were dark from her past.
Yeah.
She always tried to elevate herself. And her biggest desire was to make something of herself from the time that she was a teenager. She made that statement all the time.
Did she always know, hey, I'm going to be on that stage with that band, Chick Webb or whoever?
Well, the interesting thing is Ella was going to be a dancer.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That I did not know.
Yes, she danced. Well, she was really close and tight with a lot of those Lindy Hoppers in Harlem. By the time she came up from Virginia, where she was born, in Norfolk, she came to New York. And, you know, she had, like I said, she had to live. So she was dancing in the streets for money.
Mm.
But she came very close. You know, these were her buddies, these Lindy Hoppers. And she could dance. She really could dance. And she loved to dance. And she just thought she was going to be a dancer. But one of the partners that she had in her dancing was shocked when he heard her open her mouth and sing. And the only reason she sang at the Apollo Amateur Night was because she came up to watch the act before her, and they were some heavy hitter dancers.
Ah.
And she couldn't follow them. And she realized, oh, God, I have to do something else. And they called her right after them. And she started singing. Now, she inherited a fabulous instrument from her mother, who had a beautiful operatic voice. And she said she never did much with it. But, you know, that stuff is in the genes, I can tell you, because I got a son that sings.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he was born singing. So a lot of that is in the genes, you know. And she inherited that voice, but she never thought of herself as a singer until that night.
Really?
Really.
I'm sure her battles with Sarah Vaughan are not included in the show. But
no.
I love reading about them.
Oh, you know, they were the thing about singers of that era is that they were very, very close, like sisters.
Yeah.
There was a sisterhood amongst the singers, jazz singers of that period. And they were all really, really tight. But they didn't mind getting up and scatting, you know, against each other more or less. Like the Battle of the Bands, they
sure.
did the same thing, you know.
Sure.
But it was with love and very great support that these women did that.
The music... The show, by the way, I'm so wrapped by what we're talking about. I should tell everybody we're talking to Tina Fabrique. She is in Ella. It runs at Capitol Rep July 24th through August 12th. The music, the band. Tell me about the band that you have for this show.
George Caldwell is our music director. He was involved in creating many of these arrangements that were lifted from Ella's original recordings.
So they're fairly true to the original.
Oh, yeah, they're very true to the original. I had the chance of singing a lot of that stuff with the Ellington Orchestra years ago. So I got familiar with them that way. And Danny Holgate and George Caldwell put that together so that the show has an authentic quality. Mm. We have Rodney Harper on bass, and we have Ron, who plays trumpet, does Louis Armstrong, and he wears it out.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
That must not be easy to do without caricature. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing with Ron Haynes is that he has done this whole thing with Satchmo for years.
Right.
And so it's really in his body and in his voice. But he is a fantastic trumpet player.
You better be.
You know? I mean, he plays those top notes that Louis Armstrong is famous for at ease, very easily, you know. And he is a fantastic person. So we're like a family, you know. And Harold Dixon plays Norman Grants, who is not a musical performer, but he is Ella's manager. Mm. And that relationship is very, very important in the storytelling, because Norman Grants was a huge supporter of jazz and a person that really gave so much to the artists that he represented.
And he did so many artists.
Yes, so many artists, and he would not play in a segregated venue.
Yep.
He would not let his musicians be mistreated. If he got to a venue and they were talking about separation of the races, he'd say, oh, we're not playing there. Guys, go home, rest up. We're getting on a plane tomorrow morning. You will not be playing here.
Well, you know, we only have about 30 seconds left, but you will love playing at Cap Rep. It is an intimate place for this sort of thing, and it sounds like a tremendously exciting show.
It is. Thank you so much.
Ella runs at Capitol Rep in Albany, New York, July 24th through August 12th. Tina Fabrique, thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And have a great run at Cap Rep. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.